Can I open this? You can open your beer.
Okay.
Was this one for me?
Yes. Oh, it is now.
Yeah. All right. You ready?
I'm not going to edit this. It's all
You've been rolling for 5 minutes.
You're listening to Dots, Lines, and Destinations, a travel podcast with hosts Stephen Seagraves, Fosma Moon, and Seth Miller.
Hello, and welcome to episode 570 of Dots, Lines, and Destinations. I'm Stephen Seagraves, joined by Mr. Seth Miller, Mr. Fosma Moon.
Good evening.
And Mr. Special Guest, Jason Rabinowitz.
The specialist guest. Hello. Specialist. Thank you for having me back for the third year in a row on, what do you call this trip to Europe?
Beardo.
Beardo.
Yeah.
My third Beardo out of, what, 15 now?
Yes.
You actually did the math.
I'd counted them up. This is year 18, but event 15. We took three off for COVID. So, you know, shit happens.
And we're...
Because
I tried to correct myself and said it again.
Oops.
We're live, I guess,
ECU.
In person of an apartment audience. a live apartment audience of Patreon subscribers who joined us here in Malaga.
What? He's like, no, I'm not a Patreon. So I have to subscribe to it. I wouldn't pay for this. I would. Who pays for this?
And we're here in Malaga.
Yeah, Malaga.
Malaga?
It depends on if you're British.
Malaga.
AGP.
Yeah. AGP.
Yeah.
And we're just recording this episode in front of this Yeffa folks.
We had a lovely dinner.
We had a great
lovely evening.
Walking tour of this city with some food.
Spanish food Sherpas. Legit would recommend them.
It was awesome.
Yeah. Good group of people. Fair price. Good food.
Really go do it. Guy.
Yeah. Fernando, our guide, was stellar.
So I think what we're going to do, you have quote of the week here. Do you have a quote of the week?
Or quote of the week? You really need
a quote of the week. This is a new bit. I haven't heard this.
It is a new bit.
Oh, you've never listened to a podcast. Oh, well, I have a year of episodes I haven't heard since the last time I've been on. Oh, this is a new
wait. Jason, you have a year of episode you haven't heard since the last time you hadn't heard any episode.
That's true. So since the last time I've recorded one actively with you, this is a new bit.
Yes, I'm just saying.
So do you have quote of the week or
question? But Steven sees QOTW and thinks it's quote.
Okay. So you're still working out the finer points of this.
We are. Okay. Question of the week came up because I got called out a little bit for an excellent performance. Go to karaoke song.
Go to karaoke song. I don't karaoke.
Loser. Also loser.
Wow.
I'm hitting karaoke.
Also loser. Do you ever karaoke?
Very rarely, but I'm thinking, I didn't know this question was going to happen.
Yeah, that's part of the point.
Pass.
What's the song?
Madonna, Material Girl, highly recommended.
That's what you sing. We are living.
Oh, we're copyright. Well.
And I am a material girl.
Copyright struck.
Yeah. What? Less than 10 seconds, you can count it.
It's funny, it's not the original recording, so it doesn't matter.
Did it within copyright?
Yeah, because that's how.
They get
fair use?
Yeah, it's fair use. Okay. All right.
I'll have to talk to my lawyers about that.
Anyway, I can't use the original snippet because that's how all the alternate artists do it. I'm like, anyway. Likey on the term.
So on the same theme, I think we're going to take some questions from our supporters and people who joined us on this trip.
The apartment audience.
The apartment audience. If there's any questions that you have, and we've talked about some interesting topics tonight. So is there anything that you all have? And I'll repeat it on the podcast without using your name. If you want to say anonymous. Or I can repeat your name if you want. You don't want to sit anonymous.
You haven't been to Spain before. Like, are there major places, like places that people go that you haven't been to? And you do haven't been, you're like, that people would think was surprising that, like, you are in the, you know, Minneapolis or something.
That's a good question.
I worked in Minneapolis for 9 months. So I got that one covered.
The question is, I hadn't been to Spain before this trip at all. Are there other cities or places I haven't been that other people would consider major destinations to visit? Is that correct? Trying to think. I haven't spent, I would say, proper amount of time in Tokyo.
Okay. That is actually shocking because you go to Taipei like every other third day.
Yeah, I love Taipei.
Well, wait, he books twice to Taipei.
Yeah, exactly.
It's on this debate already. We've been recording for 3 minutes.
Yes. You technically booked on a trip to Taipei that you canceled to come to this?
I canceled my inaugural Phoenix Taipei on Starlux to visit with you guys. To remount
torture.
To put up with this. To be chastised.
Are you regretting it yet?
Kinda.
Okay.
Starting to.
Perfect.
I would say Tokyo, and then I'd say other big cities. I've only been to Amsterdam once. I liked Amsterdam. Just haven't had a chance to go through there again. I don't think I flew continental nearly as much as you guys early on. And I think you guys spent more time in Amsterdam than me.
With their one flight and then
to Houston, and anyway, so it's
Houston came much later,
but still,
yeah,
yeah. And Dulles didn't, wasn't there Dulles
or not? No, it was Continental.
Yeah. Okay. I don't think I ever flew Continental to Amsterdam.
Only United.
Actually, that's not true. I did eat Houston once.
Okay,
but got on train, went straight to Brussels.
Straight to Brussels for the bearder.
No,
oh.
This is well before that.
Okay.
One of my college friends, her dad was the Egyptian ambassador to Brussels, so she invited a couple up to come spend a week.
And you were in Brussels?
In Brussels, at the Brussels ambassador residence.
Ah.
Which was a trip when you're 22.
Right. I would imagine so. Okay, so Sepp, you go next.
Places I haven't been. A lot of South America.
Mm.
It's cheating, because I've been to Brazil, I've been to Chile, I've been to Argentina, in total, I think all three of those countries I've been in for 72 hours combined. Probably less than that, because some of them were...
For me, really.
Some of them were, like, less than 24-hour connections. Argentina was... I was in Buenos Aires for 20 hours. I've been to Brazil a few times, so some for work, but for pleasure, very little.
Is there a reason? Is it just because it's harder to get to?
It was more expensive to get to.
Okay.
It wasn't harder. And the one time I went to Brazil, the first time I went to Brazil sort of for fun on my own, I was reliving this the other day, was on the Seattle Newark W fares. This was,
oh yeah,
bake fair in 2014, I think, where it wasn't
a W fair.
It was B fair?
It was a J fair.
No.
Yes.
I flew in coach, so no.
Oh, then you booked the wrong one.
Entirely possible. This was a Seattle to Newark fair. It was $270-ish one way, and it had no routing rules. And so as long as you stayed within the Americas and you got on the next flight to your next hop, you could take it. And some people routed through Hawaii, which is what I did. Some people routed through Alaska. Some people did both. But I did on the outbound, I did a Hawaii trip, and I did like Newark, Honolulu, Houston, Orlando, Cleveland, Chicago, Seattle. And on the return, it was Seattle, San Francisco, LA, Dulles, Sao Paulo, Chicago, Newark, or LaGuardia. I finished that. So... yeah, it's your standard one way between New York and Seattle via South America or Hawaii. Excellent mileage run fare. Apparently there was a business class version of it. I upgraded. I was able to upgrade one of them.
Oh, I did Seattle, Portland, Chicago, Sao Paulo, Orlando on TAM to Newark.
Nice.
And
in J
and Sao Paulo, Orlando is a day flight.
Hmm.
Which left an hour and a half after you got in. And when I got off the plane, they were very confused as to me connecting to Orlando from Chicago.
Well, it's cabotage, yeah.
Oh, yeah. It took a little negotiating to get me through.
Well, on that note, where have you not been?
My big blind spot would probably be Africa.
But you've been to Joburg, Cape Town. So
South Africa doesn't really count.
Like Titus?
Anything. Like I've done Tyrol, I've done Marrakesh, but all of Central Africa. I was attempting to solve this with Ed and United bork those plans for us.
Because you were going to go to...
We were going to do Dakar, Dulles before it went away.
But it went away early.
And then they decided to move the expiration of it from March to January.
Yep. We have a question.
Point of order, was there a possibility of going to North Africa?
Yes. I was segueing.
What's your segue?
My segue was you guys went to Melilla today.
Yeah. And you did not.
And I did not. Because apparently I don't know how to book flights.
Point of order, so I'm not the only one who fucks up.
Are we explicit now? Can we continue this? You're the only one F-bomb. We're still
okay. The other words were...
I'll hold them back.
Less critical. Yeah, we're PG-13.
That's a whole other conversation with your booking to Melilla today that we also need.
Several of us, and I will use the royal we there, several of us had trouble booking this flight to Melilla. It seemed like a pretty straightforward thing where there was an outbound and a return on specific dates at specific times.
And yet.
So let's pause there.
So interesting on that note, as I learned while I was trying to fix my ticket last night, Alaska Air on the website does not recognize MLN, but on the app they do.
Which is the airport code for
Melilla.
So you remember when US Airways didn't recognize any airports? Turkey?
Yeah, they had to go add them manually.
Yes. That's pretty great.
So let's pause there. We'll ask Jason, and I want to come back to Melilla and talk about that.
Singapore. Never been, never transited through.
Really?
Never. It's really far away from New York.
And it is.
It's on my list,
but there's a nonstop.
Like several. If you count Newark as New York, yeah, there's several. But we even can go through, was it Frankfurt too? But
yeah.
It's never come up.
I mean, it's a full 24 hours
right.
from where you're at.
So far.
But have you done Australia?
Farthest I've gotten to Australia is Fiji.
Okay.
So he hasn't been in Australia, which I would say is bigger than Singapore, like Sydney, Melbourne.
Connecting opportunity through Singapore, so I haven't even transited through there.
Okay.
I recently learned Adelaide, San Francisco is only 200 miles shorter than San Francisco, Singapore.
It is extremely long. Yeah. And it stopped in Honolulu the other day, which I think I brought up on the show. Let's talk about Malila real quick, and then we'll take more questions. So we went to Malila today.
Yeah. What is Malila?
It's an outclave,
an exclave
of...
It's a Spanish city slash exclave on the coast of Northern Africa.
And I think the question I continually asked while we were there was, why?
Why?
Why is it here? Yeah. And why is there a fence surrounding the entirety of it?
Why not?
Well, it's pretty obvious.
It's one of two exclaves.
There's a... island that has a sand spit connecting to it but it is Spanish territory. It is the shortest international border in the world between Spain and Morocco because it's only about 100 feet wide.
So we just have feedback that there is a shorter version of this.
We are picking up most of that audio, so I don't know how it's going to sound in the final episode, but cool. Quetta and Malila are the inhabited exclaves. They are both on, like, basically embedded within Morocco. But are bits of Spain, big fences, lots of border, both have airports. Is Quetta only the heliport?
Heliport.
Has a heliport. We looked into that, actually, at one point. The helicopter doesn't fly scheduled service on Saturdays.
Which is when we could do this.
And the budget did not allow for chartering, I'm afraid to say. It was that or going out to dinner tonight, and I decided we should eat dinner. And also, like, for the rest of our lives, helicopter charters are expensive. But so we skipped the charter. But yeah, it's a interesting... cultural phenomenon for sure. Like, we showed up with zero plans. We ended up in the history museum and
how did we get to the history museum? Even at this little tiny place in this little tiny airport in this little tiny enclave, there was a tourism kiosk staffed with someone waiting to help us.
With someone waiting to help us and said, you have too many people to fit in a cab.
And also, we had to wait in line to get help.
There was a guy in front of us actually getting help in Spanish. I asked the woman, do you speak any English? She says, yes, a little, and then proceeded to provide me help entirely in Spanish. Which I understood about 20%, including there are five of you. Taxis will be very expensive. Just wait 10 minutes. And she, like, called her cousin or someone who showed up in a van, an electric Toyota van. It's actually a very nice ride, who took us around the island up to the top. Exclave. The land. Took us up to the top of the fort, told us what to see and do, again, in Spanish, and we maybe did some of it. There's a lot of gesturing. It was fine. We wandered around. We did our bit of touring. We walked back down to the bottom. It was raining, so there were some limitations on what we saw and did, but ended up in a cafe. He's like, take my card. Text me when you're ready to go back to the airport. I texted him. He was waiting out front 20 minutes later. Took us right back to the airport. It was cheap. Everything there was cheap. I understand it's heavily subsidized by Spanish government and probably the EU government as well in some way.
Question order driver was also the one who was, you spent 3 days here, right?
Oh, yeah. And we're like, no, he's like, how long are you here? Like, 1 day, 2 days, 3 days? We're like, Trisaurus. No, Trisaurus. And he was very confused, which became the origin of what you're hearing in the background's comment thereof. Es muy poco o muy loco? But we got it done. Interesting little place to be. One of our other guests, listeners, friends has said he spent time there overnight. Our tour guide said 3 days is the right amount of time to spend. I think that's entirely too long.
Might be a bit much.
Even an overnight seems like a lot, but 3 hours was probably not quite enough. Again, Saturday schedules, fewer flights, and we had to get back for dinner.
And I think the rain cut into what
we were willing to see.
It was fairly rainy.
Yeah. And if I was going to do it again that quickly, I would probably book in advance and hire the guy for the day and maybe speak Spanish.
Yeah.
But at least have him just drive us to the different places and tell us what to do rather than wandering ourselves.
It is also very hilly there. So,
with the fort up on the top of, the outlook and whatever. So, yeah. Cool views, though. Very nice space.
We talk about how we got there?
We flew a plane.
We did. What kind of plane? We took an ATR 72 with a bunch of smelly teenagers.
Well, only in the back in business class.
Well,
deep in economy.
Can we talk about Iberia for a second?
Yeah. I want to hear about Jason.
I'm trying to get to
his boarding passes with Iberia. Yes.
Yeah.
The saga of, okay, so forget how we booked it and you booking the wrong flight entirely and you being tricked by BA's glitch, booking you on the entirely wrong day of the week.
It's one that we all noticed and just didn't.
Thought
a glitch is on purpose.
It's a feature.
Just a feature.
Feature, not a bug.
But we were all booked on Iberia operated by Air Nostrum on an ATR 72 XXY SAS equipment, which meant that it's the only one in the fleet, which meant that 24 hours before the flight, or less than that, actually, like maybe 12 hours before the flight, all of our seat assignments got tossed out. Even
No. Speak for yourself. Mine and our friends were fine.
Well, you were in the exclusive club seats.
Well, I was booked in 19A. Everything was fine. Well, you were booked in the...
I was excited because the Air Lost Weekend, they have club seats in the very forward right-hand side of the cabin. I wanted to sit reverse-facing.
Let's talk about how business class was in the back.
Row 1 is in the back of the plane. Row 20 is in the front of the plane.
Because that's where the door is. The boarding door is at the rear of the airplane because ATRs are weird.
So the higher the rows, the more closer to the front you are.
Yes. And we were all booked at the very front of the airplane. Jason did not end up in his original
flight. No, but we're sitting there at dinner last night, and I get an email from Iberia, like, important update about your flight. I'm like, ah, crap, this is not going to be good, because this flight canceled the day before.
And last year, our flights also got changed the night before.
Yeah, we had some bad luck. And then suddenly, everyone else's phone lit off with the same notification, and then 20 minutes later, we all got the same thing again, because the same plane operated the route back and forth all day. So we ended
up... Some of the plane crew, they were very friendly. What's that false again?
ECU.
Yeah. We ended up... What's interesting is we showed up, we checked in. I had a printed boarding pass with a seat assignment. As we get to the gate, every single person going through the boarding gate scans their boarding pass, and it beeps three times.
And they still left on time.
We did. And they scanned it, and they said, nope, you get a new seat. They scanned mine, but I had a seat. They're like, no, you've been moved to seat 4A. Ooh. So I was in the very back of the plane with all of the teenagers, along with a friend of ours. We had an empty seat next to us, but we got to smell locker room the entire time.
And yeah.
We flew.
This route seems to be dedicated to moving football teams, soccer clubs, back and forth across the Mediterranean. No, seriously, our outbound had two different things on it. Our return back had at least one, if not two. The inbound that made up our return had two teams on it. Like, literally just kids back and forth all day long playing soccer, which, good for them. I think it's great they get to, like, explore and play their sport in different places, but it was... Makes me wonder why the hell this plane.
And it's just such a fascinating flight. Or my first time on Iberia operated by Air Nostrum, operated by whomever. And it's just so weird being on a 45-minute turboprop domestic flight with a full in-flight buy-on-board catering menu and a full hot-plated meal.
It's pretty business class.
Yeah. I'm very disappointed I didn't muster up the courage to order the lasagna bolognese on that flight, because that was a thing you could do on Iberia. If you look in the menu, there's a happy hour deal that on the last flight of the day, they want to get rid of everything. So they offer 50% off everything in the menu. I did not know that our 1:15 p.m. flight was the last flight.
That should be part of the announcement.
It was not a part, but
this is the last flight. If you'd like something, it's 50%.
But we knew it was the last flight of the day because we hit the brakes hard going into a hard stance. And that plane was done for the day.
Like, we're done. We're getting off the...
Hard enough that the flight attendant gasped. It's not a good sign when the flight attendant's like, ooh, that was weird.
I think the approach into Melilla was interesting.
Yeah, that was cool. We were out here, some rain.
Very sharp turns, very weavy.
My first time on an ATR. Did not disappoint.
It doesn't seem like it wants to actually land.
No, every landing we saw was one wheel first,
and
then another
one. And then the other one.
Then the nose gear.
Yeah.
All the wheels got on the ground. What are you complaining about?
We don't have a complaint, just a mere observation.
I hate being on those planes with the full sports team, because you know if it crashes, you're going to be a footnote in the team.
The team will be the main story. Fair. Spain loses entire team.
Yeah.
Three other guys died too.
We don't know that. Americans.
Yeah.
Americans.
Not worried about that.
All right. What other questions we got? Yes.
I'm not trying to.
You down
what is
in front.
This format?
Do we think there's any immediate more lifetime status devaluations along the lines of the change that Ed complained about, where 1K is if you get status, but you're global or no longer flies to your companion? I learned, a little bit surprising for this crowd, that like some lifetime states are revenue based, like BA. So that, and also, David, you recently blogged about you're close to some status. What are you going to, what's your status and decisions for this year?
I'll just start with that. I have no idea. We were talking about it earlier, and it's kind of like I'm at 1.6-ish million on United.
A few weeks ago, it was like 1.7, 1.8.
No, that 1.6 and a half is like, I'm like close to 1.7. I can do that pretty quickly. But do I stick with United and just fly that? Or do I just keep flying when I'm flying?
Which, we talked about this. You're going to start going to Joburg once a month.
Yeah, I'm definitely not doing that.
In economy.
Yeah.
I'd be like being miserable.
You hope for a trip in vain.
Which will likely happen.
Yeah.
And on the plane.
Statistically, you're at 50% already.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So revenue-based shift, I will say, is more and more common. I would expect more of that going forward. Even the programs that historically have been, you know, points-based, the way that you earn those points is shifting towards revenue. So, you know, end of an era, shed a tear, pour one out for your homies. Celebrate the ones that got there and got what they wanted.
Good job, Buzz.
Like, I hit my million miler on United in 2007, 2008, I think, and I'm at 1.3 now, right? Like, in the intervening 15 years, I have flown very little United revenue. I found a reward because for a long time, it was a great way to transfer Chase points and get very flexible rewards. And so I used my Mileage Plus account and the gold status. Incredibly useful, less so now because the rewards have gotten harder to have fun with, let's say. The basic stuff still works pretty well, but harder to have that extra fun. I would say that chasing a revenue-based lifetime program status is a terrible life choice.
Didn't you just do that, but it was 25 years?
And at quarters, it's just... revenue-based. Shot at the back.
Was not 25 for 25 on JetBlue was not revenue-based. Also, I admitted from the get-go that it was a stupid thing to do.
That's true. Many times.
And
you feel like time it's actually so...
Yeah, I mean... Wow.
You just call me old?
Whoa.
Is it my lifetime or JetBlue's lifetime that you're questioning?
Ooh.
All right, we got... So yeah, point. Gunny's through cut. College shrug there.
I would say chasing lifetime status now is a less fun thing to do. And so for Steven, 300,000 miles short of the next tier, like, sure, fly United if it's convenient and makes sense. But are you worried about if you're going to get there in 3 years, 5 years, or 7 years? Because, like, A, we don't know what they're going to change in the next 7 years. Like, let's assume something. And B, getting there isn't like
300K is a lot of miles.
300K is a lot of miles, unless you're Foz and you go to Joburg every week. So, like,
he went to Taipei a few times.
Okay, fine.
It was you with me.
But right. So, like, what I would say is chasing, like, and that's not a revenue based lifetime. Like, that's still just button seat miles.
So, she's talking about BA.
It's a BA is a revenue based one. Americans is it based on button seat or loyalty points?
American is what? Button seat.
It's still button seat.
Partners have, though.
But partners count. Okay. So, right, like that one. But million miler only gets you their gold, which is terrible. So,
No. They changed that.
Did they?
Yeah.
No, 1 million is still gold.
Yeah, but you can do more.
There's more, right? Like, yeah. I'm saying if you were relatively low on all the things, oh, yeah. It wouldn't start with American.
Yeah.
Especially now that credit card points don't count and have it for a long time. So, you know, you're 500,000 miles short of something in that range. I hate to say it, but like, buy what's cheap and what's going where you're going. Like, loyalty works, but I have, you know, I haven't been shy about this. I mostly switched to credit cards that are bank cards that I can transfer points around or even just redeem the points at what seems like a reasonable rate. Like, you know, when you find a $1,200 premium economy fare across an ocean, that's 80,000 points because the points are worth a penny and a half. And that's roughly what the redemption costs if you transfer them anyways. But you can actually pick the good flights you want instead of paying 195,000 each way. Thanks, United, for that absurdity. Like, they have shifted the situation, and so why would I chase that lifetime status? There are some scenarios where it makes a little bit of sense if you're close to get to a level, but at 300,000, I wouldn't say you're close.
No, I don't think so.
But that doesn't mean you shouldn't fly United. I just wouldn't say that's why you should fly United.
Yeah. Side question, so we talk about Bilt now?
Well, before you pivot, I'm
going to move on, and I was going to say, did we talk about Bilt at all?
I was going to talk about United and Luke Bodnar leaving.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think, and the Delta guy coming in.
The Delta guy? You mean the American guy?
No, not honestly. There's a Delta guy there that used to be a part of SkyMiles who went somewhere else and is now coming with the Mileage Plus.
Yeah.
I think it's a bad sign.
It's a bad sign. So I would not do anything just yet.
I think there's some things coming to United that are probably going to be bad overall.
United's going to over-rotate on their ego.
Vasu Raja. Got to
talk about that. Cool. Yeah, Vasu Raja.
Formerly of American. He's the architect of the...
Downfall of American?
Yes.
More or less.
It sounds like a very sad book.
Shortcomings.
I mean, shortcomings of the airline financially. Pick a title.
He was the architect of the, we don't need to sell the corporate anymore, just let them buy direct. He was a big player of the Southern hubs only.
Tulsa's around the Jews.
The Sun Belt and small towns. And some of it worked for a period of time, but ultimately the airline decided to cost them billions of dollars and he was no longer chief commercial officer, chief something officer.
Chief commercial.
Has been out of the industry a little while, been trying to get back in. He got himself a contract at United helping run their connective marketing group, which is the online advertising stuff that's like the seatback ads and all the bits that you see there. And that is, I will say, talking to folks on the IFEC team, they see massive potential there. That is like supposed to pay for the free Wi-Fi with Starlink and lots of other things. So
I'm sorry, but if it's got massive potential, why do you hire that guy?
I don't know. I
sound smart critical.
Well, part of it is that the guy who was running it left.
Yeah, that's fair. You need someone. So he's filling a contract role. But like, how do you fill out your resume as the guy who's well known throughout the industry as basically
crashing America,
bombing you? American, I hate the term, but
it was nothing to do with the airline. This is just about advertising.
So you think it's totally that they see him as a marketing genius?
No, we probably called him the favorite of Scott Kirby.
Yeah, look what I did. Chicago's going down the hole. I messed up really bad. Help me. It could be.
It's an interesting situation. He did his whole like a rehabilitation tour a few months, maybe a year ago now, like bunch of interviews, bunch of talking about getting people to talk about how great he was and like misunderstood and this and that, but never really acknowledged like maybe I screwed up. I feel like there's no contrition there, which generally speaking, the general consensus is like this was a bad strategy. And I don't have a problem with people screwing up. I screw up a lot.
I want to fail upwards. Yeah. This is the best.
Maybe.
You're right. He went from C-suite to like contract guy in the market.
Well, hold on. He went from C-suite to street for a very long time.
Yes.
He's still failing in relatively equal.
Still a name. It's down at least a rung, but like it's still in the industry doing good stuff.
Known as the guy who broke American. That cannot be a good legacy.
But to still get a job. My job, people would be like, that guy killed people.
He took the title, from Doug Parker.
Ouch. Ouch.
But it's true.
Yeah, a little bit.
It's hard for me to see the upside for United. It's also hard for me to see the upside with a Delta hire. I think it's bad for a customer. And I think
the only saving grace is he hasn't been at Delta recently.
He was at,
I forget, it was non-airline.
Yeah,
Apple.
It was Apple.
And it's been like a decade since we said the airlines, at least, I think. It's been a while. So maybe he forgot some things. I don't know.
Maybe he tried to fight for Sky Miles.
And he got kicked out.
Yeah.
Bastion's like, hey, we can't have that. Sky pesos, it's a dying currency.
Yeah.
All right. Jason, any thoughts?
Don, I don't even know who we're talking about at Delta. So, no.
I don't even know the gentleman's name.
I know he does.
Yeah. But he's I could find it,
but we're using my phone to record.
He's taking over Mileage Point, basically.
Oh.
Because Luke's out, yeah.
Mileage, I mean, the only thing I do want to say about Vasu is that the entire time he was leading, and I'm air quoting, leading the downfall of American, he had a boss. And he had someone signing his checks and theoretically approving all the things he was doing. And
he had a boss on a board.
Yeah. They're all still there. Yeah. So
You think he's the scapegoat?
I think he already widely acknowledged that he's the scapegoat, but I don't like blaming all of it on him because there were other people there that should have been keeping him in check.
I think the problem is he was the architect of all of that.
Yeah.
And so he took
it. But it was going wrong for so long.
Well, I know.
And they let it go on for so long that I feel like responsibility should probably be a little more widespread and he shouldn't be such a black sheep.
What are your feeling on Chicago? Is American screwed at Chicago?
Possibly, but how much of that is, again, falling on their own sword by doing things like forgetting they had slots and having them taken away? Like, this isn't the first time that's happened to them, so it's part of the goal.
More ineptitude.
Yeah.
I got some names. Jared Fisher is the new vice president for loyalty and president of Mileage Plus. Fisher helped build Apple's credit card program from 2015 to 2020, and earlier in Chris's career...
That's gone great.
Yeah, I don't have to say, that's been great.
Just rocked them and moved to Chase.
They're moving to Chase, yeah.
And previously worked at Delta.
So Goldman Sachs couldn't handle the loss, but somehow Chase can for the Apple card?
Chase can offset it with all the $695 a year fee.
Is it higher than that?
Whatever it is.
$795.
Excuse me. Because
I get Apple Music for free.
Now. Yeah. Well, so what does that cost them?
I don't know. Verizon also gives it to me for free.
How many different ways can you get IHD Platinum for free right now?
At least two.
Yeah, I think I have three. Actually, I learned about one this week, so I was like, still not using it, but okay.
I actually know someone who used their IHG status to their benefit, wow. And they're very pleased with their CSR.
Okay.
Right now.
I had no idea that the CSR offered it at all.
Yeah. If you had the higher tier of the CSR.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good to know.
Any other, do we want to pause here and see if there's any other questions, things for the show?
I'll go with the corollary for the places, the obvious places you haven't been. What are the weirdest wines, strangest places, the oddest places you're most proud of?
Aside from today?
Of like, yeah, they're like, aside from recency bias, where's the conversation if it shows up? They say, yeah, and
wait, qualifier. Planned or executive prop to read?
That, and that exists.
Or, let's go back to Steven. Booked versus actually tried.
Hey, Steven gave him a thumbs up. That's our finger up. Right, different finger.
I don't think it's available anymore, but I flew the Junkers 52 from Dusseldorf to Cologne.
You were there too, right?
I did not do that one.
You didn't do the JFK?
I didn't get that trip.
Oh, sucked.
But I don't think they make it commercially available anymore.
They don't. It's not available at all anymore, but the plane is done.
It was ready to fall out of the sky at any moment.
Same. Rather than fixing it, they polished it and put it in a museum.
Is it in the museum or the conference center?
Same.
Okay.
Is that the one that was in Maine for a while?
No. That was a DC-3.
The DC-3, yeah.
That was the Super Connie.
I'm sorry. Yes, you're right. It's the Super Connie, the one that they ended up using parts of it for the TWI hotel.
So I think the JU Super Connie and the Super Connie are both at their new conference
center. They did fly the Super Connie because they crossed the Atlantic with it. And then they were done.
Many.
Did they fly that pieces? Yeah, they flew it. That was made a big story. It was a big.
What? I thought they flew it in pieces.
No, they flew it. They got it airworthy and everything.
Huh. Neat.
Anyway, the Iqaluit nuke flight. I'm still pretty excited by that. It's been a year now. Over a year now. That was also just an incredible trip. Greenland is super cool. And people visit.
You looking forward to invading it?
Getting the Denmark stamp on the way while you still can.
There'll be a U.S. stamp soon. Don't piss, I didn't get that line.
Does our Air Inuit flight count if we never got off the ground?
Never got off the ground. Does not count. We taxied around for a few minutes.
We were on the runway.
Does not. I'm pissed that I can't count it. But I did learn the other day, I was reminded that I have a gravel landing, so I don't need it.
Oh, well, look at you. Well,
I have a 730 instead of 200.
Last for your bar, that wasn't gravel. That was
beach.
Man, that was there.
Beach landing is different. Now, my gravel landing was in Alaska. We flew a bush plane out of Tiquitna, like some distance out into the bush, landed on gravel's probably a loose stretch for what the rocks were, and then did a wrapping trip back for 4 days. So
I have a gravel landing on a 732.
Okay, that's better.
No leaner, different. No leaner.
Yeah, this is the one we're supposed to do on Air Inuit. We got mechanical.
Boss?
I would say the island hopper. You don't really get
the partial hopper?
The partial hopper.
Or the
we hopper. Do have some weird lines out of that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you don't leave quit the airport at Kwajalein.
And we got to leave the airport. Yeah. And we got Chuuk to Guam.
We got money back and we made money on that.
Yeah. Well, made credit, but yeah.
I got my money back.
Right. And then got credit. Yeah. There was no like cash in hand profit, but.
I'm sure if we pushed, we could have, but.
Yeah. Yeah. We all got decent credits on that one.
I'm 3 for 3 on trip and vans.
I'm like 7 for 7.
But like getting your money back when you get screwed?
Yeah.
Okay.
The last one took a while.
It did.
We've been talking for a while. We should wrap up this episode.
Has it been long?
It's been like 30 something minutes.
Sets for Randy to go to bed.
Yeah. No, we got to get to bonus topics.
Okay. All right. Well,
I know what those are, but whatever.
Patreon supporters, thank you for supporting the show. If you're a regular listener, thank you for listening. We will talk to you next time. Happy travels.
Adios.
So long.
See you later.